And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, bringing you the news you don't ordinarily get to hear. And we've gone over to Project Fly Home about the case of Bousfian Abdelrazik. So, and we're speaking with Mary Foster from Project Fly Home. Mary, are you with us? Can you hear me?
I am.
Wonderful. Well, Mary, thanks so much for being here. I know all your members of your collective, of your group, are very busy right now. There's a lot going on with the organization, so I appreciate this, and we appreciate you taking the time to do this. Let me just boost your volume up there. We had a bit of quietness there. These phone lines, you never know. Are we calling Quebec? Where are you located right now?
Montreal.
Very good. Okay, well, as I said, there's a lot happening in your organization because of the case of Bousfian Abdelrazik. And for anyone who might have missed the news, of course, this is a Canadian citizen who was stranded abroad, and most of us are familiar with the story, but what happened in Bousfian's case? How was it that he came to be stranded in Sudan, in Khartoum, without being brought home?
Well, basically, he went to visit his mother, who was sick, just as he was on the point of coming back to Montreal after she'd gotten better. He was abruptly arrested. It turned out later that he was arrested on the request of Canadian intelligence agents. He spent in total about a year and a half in prison, in two periods of prison. And Canadian intelligence agents actually went to Sudan, traveled to Sudan, and while he was in that situation in prison and in a situation of abuse and torture, he wasn't interrogated by Canadian officials. Then when he started trying to get back, to come back home to Canada, he kept finding mysterious roadblocks in his way. First he was told one thing, then he was told another thing. His passport had expired while he was in prison, so he wasn't just able to step onto a plane and come right back home. So in all, it was a six-year struggle. Including the last year, he actually went into the Canadian embassy, was accepted with a temporary safe haven to stay in the embassy. But it still took more than a year before the federal court ordered him ordered the government to bring him back to Canada.
And I remember when this hit the news, there was such an uproar once ordinary Canadians, our citizens, started realizing what was happening. I mean, his rights are being denied in this fashion and for these spurious reasons. No one could really understand why, and here it was. And I guess, was this when Project Fly Home was founded? Because I know that the immediate campaign at that point was, how do we get Abdelrazik back into Canada? Is that what you guys were organizing?
Yes. When he went into the embassy the first time, that's when we formed as a grassroots support group here in Montreal, which is, you know, where his family is based. So we started organizing at that point and continued throughout that year until he was brought home.
I see. Well, it was celebrated when he was brought home. It was great, fantastic work that you activists and the people that were involved in this thing and the legal team and everyone, they pulled together. And this was great that he came home, but it wasn't all roses. I mean, it's not over yet for him, I understand. There's challenges and restrictions that he faces, including what's been called the 1267 sanctions. What exactly is that?
This is a sanctions regime. Many people refer to it as a no-fly list, but it actually goes beyond a travel ban. It's financial sanctions. His name was put on a blacklist in 2006, just as he was trying, very conveniently, just as he was trying to get home to Canada after the second term in prison. His name was added to this international list. And that was one of the factors that allowed Canadian officials to continue to block him for another 3 years from coming home. But now that he's home, he's still unfortunately on that list. It applies a travel ban, but it also applies financial sanctions. What that means in Canada is that the way it's applied here in Canada is that if any Canadian citizen were to give him a salary or a loan or a gift, that could be considered illegal under this sanctions regime.
That's incredible. I mean, it's an asset freeze provision, and he can't get any kind of financial assistance.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like we're creating two classes or two categories of Canadians, right? There's Canadians, and then there's like quotation mark Canadians, you know, and he's not being treated as a full citizen. And I think we all understand the implications of that. I think it's very disturbing, and I know that they spent about $800,000 trying to break his case, but you know, it's been moving forward, and the only issue here is that Abousfian story, as you said, is not over yet. We thought, well, he flew home thanks to the work of these dedicated activists. It's all great, but the government still has him in these 1267 sanctions. So I understand that there's a second round now of activism and support for Abousfian Abdelrazik, and we're asking people to get involved. There was the telethon that happened a few days ago. That was on rabble.ca. Was that an online telethon?
Well, there was a real event in Montreal, and then it was broadcast live on rabble.ca television. We were invited people to say we object to the sanctions regime, and we are going to go so far as to break the sanctions by openly donating to Mr. Abdelrazik. So we invited people to phone in, make their pledge, or make an online donation, and break the sanctions and invite the government, okay, go ahead, charge us if you want to charge us.
Right.
But we object to this regime.
So I understand. I mean, it was some thousand. What, you had 1,000 people give to this? Is that right? Like you had hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people get involved in donating?
Well, I wish it had been that extensive. We had 150 in total participate. It was a two-hour telethon. So in retrospect, I wish we'd made it longer and had more telephone lines, because we weren't expecting the level of success. So it's obviously something that really enrages a lot of Canadians, and a lot of Canadians are willing to do what they're not often willing to do, which is openly break the law in a large-scale civil disobedience action. So we had 150 people call in during that two-hour period, which was, we thought, quite something. A lot of people actually wrote to us afterwards complaining that they weren't able to get through because the phone lines had been busy pretty much solidly throughout the evening.
Right, so there was a sort of demand to help that wasn't fully met here. There were many people that were interested, so I guess it's still possible to donate or get involved or contribute to this. Is that right?
Yeah, if you want to put your name out there as someone who's willing to go against the sanctions, you can do so. I think the easiest thing to do is for people to look at our website, and there's pretty clear instructions there, but basically just we're asking people to send a check to Abousfian Abdelrazik, and we give an address on our website, and to write to the Minister of Foreign Affairs and tell him that you've done so. Let him know that you're willing to break the law to object to this sanctions regime.
Wow, okay, so the website, I guess that's Project Fly Home.
No, it's at the peoplescommission.org.
Oh, okay. Oh, good thing we checked this. Okay.
Yeah, and then once you get to peoplescommission.org, the first box that you'll see there has a big picture of Abdelrazik, so people can click on that, and that's his website that comes up.
peoplescommission.org. Okay. Well, great. Well, Mary, thanks so much, and thanks for taking your time. I know there's been a flurry of activity, and you've been handling that. Well, thanks very much. I wanted to make sure our listeners knew about this opportunity to further help Abdelrazik and the fact that his case isn't over yet. So thanks for helping share that with us and help us all understand it better.
So thanks to you.